Our gospel lesson is found in the gospel according to Matthew. We'll be reading from the fourth chapter, beginning at verse 12. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by a sea. Nope, that's not it. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light, and for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called to them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord. Today's Gospel reading takes place in an interesting point in the story. It happens immediately after Jesus is baptized, feels the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon him, hears the voice of God declare that he is beloved, and then is led by the Holy Spirit into a wilderness experience where his identity and purpose is questioned by the tempter. After all of this, Jesus then leaves his wilderness experience and goes out to preach about the kingdom of God and in search of people existing within their own wildernesses. What do I mean by that? Oftentimes when we think of the wilderness, we think of the desert. Sand and cacti and reptiles and all kinds of things in the wilderness. But I think for me, when I think of wilderness, it's more of an emotional or spiritual place where we question our worth and wonder if we are loved or wanted or welcomed. It's that place of uncertainty, indecision, and insecurity where our guilt and shame can seem too heavy a burden to carry. This wilderness is no respecter of person. When I worked on Wall Street, many well put together successful people lived in the wilderness, hurting and lost and searching for meaning. Jesus leaves his wilderness experience and he goes in search of people who are existing within their own. What's interesting to me is that he could have waited for people to come to him. Now, this is Jesus. He could have just gone to the synagogue, taught among the people, and then waited for the masses to come to him, and he then chose from the people who were there who he wanted to be his disciples. He could have just waited for them to come to him, but he didn't. That's not the way of God. God is not confined by the walls we erect. God is not limited by the boundaries we set. God is alive and at work in the world, moving among us, alive within us. Jesus leaves his wilderness experience and he goes along the Sea of Galilee where the people are to find those whom he will call as his disciples. It's along the seashore among working people busy in their daily work, doing what they usually do, that Jesus then sees Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and calls them out of all of the people that he has walked by, calls them to come and follow him. And as I told the children, amazingly, they do. In fact, they leave everything and follow Jesus. And the huge question is, why? Do you wonder why? I know I do. Why did they leave the way they did? Why did they leave Jesus at all? Why did they leave and go off with a complete stranger and leave everything they knew and loved and was familiar to them? Why go in that moment? It says immediately they left. Why go in that moment and not later or tomorrow or next week or another time? I've been thinking about that. And in answer to that question, why, I want to share just a little bit of my story with you today. After being back in the church for a few years, I'd left the church and came back. I got a job working in an investment bank in Manhattan. And one of the things about the job, it required me to take the subway to work every day. And so here I am, a 20-something-year-old, and I'm sitting on the subway. Now, mind you, I got on at the first stop, so I always got a seat. And I'm sitting on the subway, and I'm reading my Bible. Yes, I was one of those people. And as I'm reading my Bible, I happen to look up, and I see someone. And immediately there's this question that rises up within me. And I wonder, does that person know how much God loves them? I start reading my Bible some more, and I look up and I see another person, and the same question kind of pops into my head. Do you know how much God loves you? Well, that happened occasionally, but over the days, over the weeks, that question started to rise up more and more and more. And it wasn't just with one person or two people. It started to happen with everybody that was coming on the train and everybody that was leaving the train and the people that were sitting in the car and the people standing on the platform and the people I walked past when I was... And I started to wonder this about everybody I started seeing. Do you know how much God loves you? What do you do with that? So I started praying. I started praying for the woman on the train that was in her business attire the same way I was in my business attire. And she just looked kind of tired. And I started praying for her and praying that God would just answer whatever it was in her life that was kind of wearing her down. I saw a man that was sitting with his little child on their way to where, who knows where. And so I said, well, it can't be that easy. I started praying for him. And before you know, I started praying for different people all over the place, on the train, in the subway, near me, next to me, standing in front of me. It didn't seem to matter. It was wonderful. And it was scary. Who has that kind of experience? I didn't tell anyone. I kept it to myself. I remember on a few occasions, I even prayed that God wasn't going to call me to be one of these people who rose up out of their seat and started preaching on the train. Now thinking back, that would have been a wonderful thing, actually, because, you know, maybe somebody really needed to hear that. But for someone like me who was insecure and shy and introverted and wasn't willing to speak in public, that was just not what I was interested in. Nevertheless, what I realized in hindsight was that Christ was using that period in my life to prepare me for a life lived for him. That's not what it said. He didn't say, come and do this. But this feeling, this urging, these questions was his way of preparing me so that when I heard the call to go to seminary, I said yes. And it was to everyone's surprise. No one saw it coming. No one even knew I was thinking it. But the Lord was working leading up to that moment. We don't know what moved within the hearts and minds of the fishermen before Jesus approached them. We don't know what they were thinking, the lives that they had been living, the compulsions within them, the questions they were wrestling with, the inner yearning they were experiencing. We don't know any of that. The scriptures don't tell us. But what it does tell us, and what we do know, is when Jesus said, come and follow me, it was the call of a lifetime for Peter and Andrew and James and John. And upon hearing Christ's call, they responded and followed him to become fishers of people. That was what they had been waiting for. That was what they had been prepared for. And when the call came, they were ready. And they got up and left everything to follow him. My brothers and sisters, Jesus continues to call people to come and follow him. Wandering through our own wildernesses, come and follow him. Searching for meaning in life, come and follow him. Burdened and heavy laden, come and follow him. Lost and alone, come and follow him. His is a call of a lifetime. And it changes everything. It transforms our hearts, it renews our minds, it changes our lives, it gives us new lens by which to see the world and people. It is a call to be his disciple and to live in his light. It will look different for each person. Pastor Duane and I have different callings, although we're both ministers. My call will not be the same as yours. Yours will not be the same as mine. But for all of us, it will require a response. Even if we don't know what or where among whom it may be, nevertheless, to say yes, just to say yes, is to encounter the truth that we are wanted and welcomed by one who loves us so much that he died for us, so that we might experience the healing power of God's grace and forgiveness and mercy, and then be set free. Free to live for more than ourselves. Indeed, free to live for Christ in this life and to live with him in the next. For he is the light, the light that we see in the darkness. And he is the one who calls us to come and follow him and simply wait for our response. Amen. Let us pray. O holy and eternal God, we thank you. We thank you for the ways in which you prepare us, the ways in which you work within our lives, using those experiences, using our temperaments, using our personalities, using our very selves to make us ready for you. Help us to have ears to hear your call. Help us to have a heart that is open to receive it. And help us have the will to say yes and to follow. Use even us to your glory and for your great purpose in this world that you so love. We pray all of this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.